I'm going to share with you a lot of scripture today because I want it to be an example. I want it to be an example to you for Thanksgiving. And I'm going to approach it from a couple of different angles this morning. Thanksgiving is commanded by God. Our nation has set in place a day for Thanksgiving. We've had days of prayer. We've had a day of Thanksgiving has been instituted for many, many years. Even began with the, as you know, the Pilgrims and the celebration for the first harvests and the joining together of people, coming together, people of various backgrounds to come together to give thanks unto the Lord. So it's not just you know, just the Christians. But I mean, even the Christians invited the Native American, the Indians, to come and to because they were a part of what they were giving thanks to God for. Now, of course, you know, much of that changed over the period of years. But thanksgiving to God was for everybody. Thanksgiving to God for all things that we are grateful for, that we have, all things that we have. This great gratitude and thankfulness to God is what God has declared throughout all the earth. And the Pilgrims recognized that, and they brought in those who had helped them to give thanks. Even in the example of the Jewish festival of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, they invite the Gentiles. They invite the Gentiles in to the tent. The tabernacle is a little tent. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a little tent where you're giving thanks to God and giving praise to the Lord for the things that He has done. And you invite the Gentiles. You invite everyone in. And they don't believe, the Gentiles don't believe in your God, but hey, come over for dinner. Come on in. Come, you know, so we don't do that very often. You know, I noticed that we're thankful that we are thankful. So thankfulness will be your keynote word today, obviously. Yeah, do we have to do a sermon on Thanksgiving? No, don't have to do a sermon on Thanksgiving. Could do a sermon on Job, for that matter. Could do a sermon on anything. But since today is an opportunity to look into giving thanks, why don't we do it? You know, it's kind of like Thanksgiving. Well, why not speak to it? Why not say, why do we give thanks? Why? What is this Thanksgiving thing? Is it Turkey Day? You know, yeah, I know both of you guys are strong Christians and, you know, we don't have a lot of just ultimately nominal Christians in here, you know, to say that, looking forward to the Dallas Cowboys and an eight-legged turkey. How many legs on that turkey when they bring it out? Eight? Or, you know, how many legs on that thing? Six? See, somebody knows. So all the legs on that turkey, you know, it's Turkey Day and all this kind of thing. Well, you know, you just kind of put it aside. Well, it's Turkey Day. It's a day of, but it is a day of family. And, you know, one thing that's never left is a day of family and a day of celebration. And a day of, you can't get away from the word Thanksgiving, can you? I mean, it's hard to get away from that word. Easter is easier. Kind of like Easter. What's that? You know, what's an Easter? You know, we always like to say resurrection. Because, you know, why do we celebrate that day? You know, what does Easter mean? If you ask a four-year-old, you know, who's never been to church what Easter is, they're going to, you know, tell you about a bunny. They're going to tell you about eggs. They're going to tell you about candy. You know, it always amazes me how big Easter has gotten even since I was a child. I mean, Easter was kind of, it was a big deal, but it had to do, it was built around church. You still had eggs. You still had bunnies, but you had Jesus, you know. And then you look at, it's my understanding that Halloween has gotten to be a bigger holiday of the celebration of just the day. Now, of course, granted, you don't have all the gift giving and the money, but as far as the celebration of the event with the decor, Halloween is growing by leaps and bounds. It's an incredibly money-making holiday. Maybe it was just with the sale of candy, I don't know. But Thanksgiving, can you get away from it? Halloween, what's that, other than what it is, other than what you do on it? Easter, what is it, other than what it is and what you do on it? But Thanksgiving, you can't get away from Thanksgiving. If I say Thanksgiving, what do y'all think of? Giving thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. See, you think about Thanksgiving. It's powerful. I'm grateful that this one doesn't have anything like, what else could you say? Yahoo Day or something, you know. But you have to use the word that God uses and God brings, and He makes it an important word. And when you go through the Scripture to find out what it is to give thanks or what Thanksgiving is all about, you want to go through the Scripture and you want to find out what God says. Well, I know what Thanksgiving is. What do you need to preach a whole message on it for? Just tell me. No, let's go to the Word of God. You agree? Because you got to, and you think you know things. You think you know what you know. But let's get an example from God of what it is to give thanks. It's important that we know what God says about these things. Amen? So, it's interesting to me that God gives a command. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 7. And what I'm going to do is just kind of bring this to you. And I've got a lot of scripture that we're going to show you. But I'm going to look at Leviticus. The first occurrence of the word thanks or thanksgiving, believe it or not, in the scripture is not until Leviticus. Now, you know, in fact, most forms, either thanks, thanksgiving, thank. You know, I'm doing a search of all these scriptures, and Leviticus is the first time it shows up. Now, I mean, if you find one before that, or you know of one, you let me know. You know, maybe I missed something. But it has to do with the law. And the word Leviticus comes from the word or the name Levi. Levi, the priesthood. And the priesthood are the ones who are given the responsibility of giving service to God. So this priesthood is being instructed by the Lord. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 7. I don't know if I finally said it. Chapter 7. And this is talking about the thanksgiving, talking about the offerings and the burnt offerings. Okay? And let's see here. Verse 11, look at that. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to the Lord. Verse 12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, first occurrence of the word thanksgiving, is God's instruction on the offerings that are to be offered. A type of peace offering is an offering for thanksgiving, for a thanksgiving, a giving of thanks. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Oh, good. Awesome. Fried. These guys must be from Texas. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread, or let's make that, you know, put an emphasis on there, leavened bread. So we had unleavened, and now we have leavened. Leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering to the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. So this is the first reference to thanksgiving, and it comes in the form of an offering. Isn't that powerful? It's not just out of your mouth, but it actually comes in the form of doing something, performing an offering and a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So there is a sacrifice of thanksgiving that takes place. All right? There's a sacrifice. There's something that is, and again, we're not talking about, for the purposes of the church and of you and me, we're not talking about specifically, okay, go get some unleavened bread, go get some leavened bread, go get making these sacrifices. But just the understanding that there is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. There is a sacrifice made. Now, the Lord may move on you to do such a thing, but it's going to be as the Spirit wills. It's going to be as the Spirit wills. But this is a thanksgiving, an offering that would be made of thanksgiving. Okay, see, I'm starting to talk about things that, you know, we may not even think of. We think of Thanksgiving, we think of turkey, we think of doing the cranberries, and we think of doing, you know. But let's bring Thanksgiving back to more than thank you, and Thanksgiving more than just to, but to expand upon it. Expand our understanding of what it is to give thanks. What it is a sacrifice. Because typically, we're not paying attention. Like the people in Israel, the people he's talking to, are the priesthood who are made responsible to give thanks for the people, to make an offering and a sacrifice for the people. Now, who is the priest now? Everybody raise your hand. Are you Christian? Who's the priest now? Me! I'm the priest. You are a royal priesthood. You are a priest. We are kings and priests, Revelation says, before God, each one of us. That is, each one of us goes to God for himself. I don't go to God for you, as much as you would like me to. You take the hit. I pray for you. I do. But you got to go to God for yourself. You have to go to God for yourself. You go to God. You make the sacrifice. You make the offering. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. People are afraid to go to God. People are afraid that, well, I just, you know, even some of us, afraid to go to God. You know what? When you mess up, you get afraid to go to God. Amen? Some people are afraid to go to God. Even knowing the grace, even knowing the love of Jesus, afraid to come into the presence of God. You may not even have a real, you know what I mean when I say fear? Yes, it may not be a tremble. It's just you avoid things. Sometimes we just avoid. You know, if you don't want to talk to somebody, because you know that there's something between you. You in fact harbor that thing. And you don't want to talk to them. You want to stay away. You don't want to go in there because you know it's uncomfortable. But see, God said, come in. God said, come in at all times. And come in. Enter his gates with... you know that scripture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I wasn't even going to... You know, I didn't even pick out that scripture. Maybe it's in there. But be thankful unto him and bless his name. See, that's how you enter into the presence of God. No matter what has happened, no matter what your day has brought, you come in with thanksgiving. Come in with praise. 2 Samuel chapter 22. You are priests now. Amen? You are priests. You enter God's presence for yourself through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, you enter into his presence. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David, this is the first reference of actual giving of thanks, believe it or not. You know, is the first reference of actual giving of thanks of an individual. We read about Leviticus, is the first discussion of thanksgiving and an offering to be made for such. But then we've had Genesis, Exodus, you know, all of the stories of the scripture, the Noah and the Ark, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph. And where's thanksgiving? Where's thanksgiving? Most of it's under the law. Most of it's under the Psalms. I just, you know, it's the Bible is an interesting book, isn't it? It's very interesting. It's good for you to read it. It's good for you to search out the Scripture and find out what God says. 2 Samuel 22, let's read 1 through 4, and then we're going to go to 47 through 51. All right, and then we're going to go to First. I'll just tell you, we're going to go to First Chronicles 16, and David has a psalm that has to do and talks about the giving of thanks. All right, so chapter 22 in 2 Samuel, and David spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I want you to kind of give you, you know, you've heard that. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Go to verse 47. Here's another part of that song. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Verse 48. It is God that avenges me, and that brings down the people under me, and that brings me forth from my enemies. I could have read the whole psalm, the whole chapter. This is a psalm of David. Verse 49, and that brings me forth from my enemies. You also have lifted me up on high, above them that rose up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Verse 50. Therefore will I give thanks unto you. There it is. After all that psalm or song, therefore will I give thanks. Therefore will I give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen. See, that's like in the tabernacle, there in the Feast of Tabernacles, the Sukkot, when the Gentiles are all around, you're giving thanks to God. How many know? Because God's desire is to save the Gentiles. Well, we didn't know that. We just wanted to kind of make them jealous, you know, because we got a God and they don't, but we'll invite them over and feed them and talk about our God in front of them. But God wants to, how many know? Jesus has made a light to the Gentiles. The glory. He is the glory of my people Israel. So verse 50 again, therefore will I give thanks to you, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises to your name. I won't hum quietly. I will sing praises to your name. So I will give thanks and I will sing. I've been giving thanks is one thing, but singing, that's something else. Get Paul back up here. We'll sing. Give thanks. God's desire is for giving, the giving of thanks. The giving of thanks. Why? Is it because he needs a lot of thanks? You know, God needs a lot of thanks, needs a lot of building up, needs a lot of encouragement. That poor guy, he is depressed, isn't he? I mean, is God depressed? Does he need your encouragement? Need you to build him up? Strengthen him? You know, make him feel good? No, he didn't need you to encourage him. What is giving the thanks? Giving the thanks is good for you. Giving the thanks will get you out of depression. I said giving the thanks will get you out of depression. Because you recognize that there is a God who's bigger than you. A God who's bigger than all of your trouble. Amen? So I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to speak out of my garbage. I'm going to from the ash heap. I'm going to sing and to speak and to thank him out of my misery. Maybe I'm in a miserable situation. I'm going to begin to give thanks. Amen. Otherwise, I could think about my miserable situation. Why? That'd be helpful. I've already been thinking about my miserable situation, but now I'm going to bring God my salvation. My righteousness. I'm going to bring him into my circumstance. I'm going to begin to give him thanks because of what? Because he has given me light and life. You know, I picked this up over a period of time and just kind of wrote it down. Is there various things that we look at and like darkness and light and heat and cold and death and life, evil and good. And you kind of put this into a just a little shell, nutshell, which is the truth. Somebody's, you know, I've seen various things go past and, you know, various discussions on these things. And ultimately, you know, they come down to something very simple. And even scientific, there are scientific truths to these things. That darkness is not darkness, but darkness is the absence of light. Cold is not cold, but cold is the absence of heat. Death is not death, but death is the absence of life. Evil is not evil, in the sense that it exists outside of itself, but evil is the absence of good. No God. And what do all these things say? It's the absence of God. Darkness, cold, death, evil are the absence of the presence of God. So we give thanks to God for His presence, that He came into the world. We're thankful. We're thankful for Christmas. Why? We can be thankful today for a month from now. It's because, I know Jesus was not born December 25th. It's okay. For purposes of holiday celebrations, we're giving thanks a month in advance. That's like Advent. The season of Advent is looking forward to the birth of the Savior. Advent, that means to show up. Advent, to enter. So that's what Advent is about. The Advent of the Savior. The opening, the bringing forth of the Savior. That's what the celebration of Advent is for in the traditional churches. And so these things are important to see that coming, but to give thanks for that which God has provided. And ultimately, thanksgiving is not for food, not for shelter, not for clothing, but ultimately our thanksgiving, especially as those who are believers in Christ Jesus, is because the Savior has come. That's what our thanksgiving is about. Thanksgiving is about is the salvation that comes in Christ Jesus. Well, I mean, the thanksgiving of all of these things, even in the Old Testament Scripture, were the examples of God's mercy and God's faithfulness and God's goodness, God's forgiveness. That's what we're thankful for. We give offerings because God has forgiven me. All right? That's what your thanksgiving is for. We're grateful for all the gifts and the blessings. But ultimately, our thanksgiving is for salvation. Our thanksgiving is for life itself, which is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. So again, David is giving thanks here. Verse 50 of 2 Samuel 22. Therefore, see, the reason I read those earlier verses is because to demonstrate what David is giving thanks. Therefore. Therefore means because of all of these things, here's my conclusion, is I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises to your name. He is the tower of my salvation for his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David. So, the king needs salvation, if you're a king and a priest. You need salvation. And you need anointing. You need mercy. You need salvation and you need mercy. Isn't that what David is saying about the thanksgiving that he has for the Lord? Is that he requires, as the king, he's a man. As a king and a priest, I require, I need, have need of God. I need His salvation. I need His mercy. I need to remember these things. To David and to his seed forevermore. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The good that this CD would do you is we're going to go through a lot of Thanksgiving scriptures. So, I mean, if you're interested in getting a hold of that later or getting a tape of it, it's just going to have to do with the Thanksgiving scriptures. So you can drive down the road and listen to it. Otherwise, you can get them all and read them. But it's good to listen. It's good to hear the Word of God. It's good to hear the Word of God, the Word for Thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1. Now I'm going to read this chapter through and I want you to listen. This is David bringing in the tabernacle, bringing in the ark of God. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Okay, so he's in fact setting up a means of thanksgiving, setting up a structure for the giving of thanks. You need to set up a structure to give thanks. Amen? You need to give up a structure or to create a structure in your own life for giving thanks. Because otherwise you'll forget. Otherwise you'll just do your own thing and you'll forget. Create a structure. Create a tent. Amen? For the giving of thanks. Create a structure. This is not a command in specific. But just to give yourself a place of giving thanks. Make room. Make room for the regular giving of thanks. So again, read that fourth verse again. And he appointed certain of the Levites, priests, hello, priests, high priests, hello, not H-I-G-H, but hello, priests, to minister before the ark, How about before the presence of God? Anybody have a prayer closet? Anybody have a place you come before the Lord? To minister before the Lord. Before the ark is before the presence of the Lord. And to record. It'd be good to write it down. And to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. 1 Chronicles 16:4. If you want to write that one down. Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, and Jael, and Shemiroth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obadiah, and Jael with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah and also Jehaziel of the priests with trumpets. You got a trumpet? You could kind of have a trumpet in your closet. Maybe some of you could have cymbals, harps in your closet, various instruments to praise the Lord. Then on that day, David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord. Now, why did he deliver the psalm to? Everybody say it, 1, 2, 3. Thank the Lord. Thank you. Okay. So he delivered this first psalm to thank the Lord, and he delivered it into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk you of all his wondrous works. Well, this is instruction on how to give thanks, isn't it? Glory you in his holy name, and let the heart of them that rejoice let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O you seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be you mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Now that has to do with meditation, doesn't it? So it's not just the giving of thanks, but the giving of thanks is also preceded by giving your mind to His covenant and to His promise. In other words, beginning to meditate on His promise, on what He has done, what He has given, what He has provided. You're thanking God, so you're meditating on the goodness of God and the fullness of God, the things that He has provided for you, and the things that He has provided in your life. First of all, the blood of Jesus. First of all, the blood of Jesus. Remember His marvelous works, which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O you seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. Verse 14, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, and has confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, To you will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, He allowed no man to do them wrong. Yea, He proved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, you kindreds of the people, give to the Lord the glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, The Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He comes to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And say, You save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, and glory in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. So he left there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Asaph his brethren, to minister before the Ark continually. So after the psalm, he left those guys there to minister before the Lord continually. Full-time job. To praise the Lord continually. Verse 37, as every day's work required. In verse 38, and Obededom with their brethren, 78. Obededom also the son of Jeduthun, and Hosea to be the porters, and Zadok the priest, and his brethren the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord upon the altar of burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which He commanded in Israel. I'm getting to someplace now. And with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals, for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. And the sons of Jeduthun were porters. So that verse 41. They were told to give thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. Some more examples, and again, I know this is a lot of reading, but I want to give you these things, and so you can just right now, you don't have to write everything down, just listen, all right. So these scriptures have to do with thanksgiving, and I'm going to read them out to you, and I want you to just meditate on them and worship the Lord as we continue. Psalm 26:7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 95:2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Psalm 100, verse 4. enter his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 107:22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116:17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 147:7. I will sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, and sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Now out of the prophets, Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Jeremiah 30:19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them shall make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Amos chapter 4, verse 5. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the freewill offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel. This is becoming of you, saith the Lord. And Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Interesting, in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29, it says, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, offer it at your own will. When you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, you remember in the scripture in the New Testament where he says, God loveth a cheerful giver, not grudgingly or of necessity, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver. So the giving is of your own will. We read it in Exodus chapter 29 and I believe it's 1 Chronicles chapter 35. The giving that was done of gold and silver and of precious things, for first of all in Exodus for the tabernacle and then in Chronicles for the temple, is the giving was done as the Lord made your spirit willing. So the Lord will make you willing. You ever had a feeling like you weren't willing to give thanks? I have. You ever felt like you just weren't willing? See, because we're talking about flesh. Now, watch this. I'm going to draw my little circles again. And this has to do with thanksgiving, all right? Just to help you out. Because it's the same as all the other things that have to do with growth in the Spirit. Okay? We have, remember, Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? And this soul, you remember, is divided basically in two. For purposes of instruction, his soul is divided into two. It's at war, you know. The soul is at war. Part of it, he's hearing from the body, from flesh and sin. And part of it's hearing from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. All right? So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So that bearing witness and that understanding and that love of God which is on the inside of us gives thanksgiving, doesn't it? Thanksgiving unto God. That produces thanksgiving out of the Spirit, out of the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. Actually, this is your spirit. The Holy Spirit's up here. All right? But this is your spirit. Spirit of me. That is regenerated. Regenerated. And this has to do here with meditation. The portion of your mind, will, and emotions. Mind, will, emotions. Your mind, will, and emotions are brought into the will of God and the Word of God by meditation upon His promise, meditation upon His Word. Now, this other part right here of the mind, will, and emotions have been affected by the flesh and sin. And the body has to do with the fact of what feels good. That's what the body is all about, what feels good to the body. That's flesh. That's what flesh is all about. So flesh, I mean, that's why we have the world the way we have it. When Gregory was talking this morning about the New Age stuff and you know, the books that are, it's about whatever your experience is. You know, that's what you like to hear about, is what your experience is. You know, is what makes me feel good. If it feels good, do it. Remember the 60s? Some of us. You know, if it feels good, do it. You know, see, that was the mantra. That's the mantra of the of man, is hedonism. You know, whatever feels good, do it. That's got to be good. Whatever makes me happy. Well, the fact is whatever makes you happy is killing you. It's destroying you. Because you don't know what's good for you. You are living according to the flesh. You're living according to this world. And this world is passing away. And therefore, so are you. This world is passing away. Therefore, apart from God, so are you. That death comes about. Remember, we talked about death being the absence of life. Well, the fact is that death, you know, is the absence of life in Christ Jesus. That's what death is. Now, what happens with thankfulness, right here, thankfulness, is thankfulness comes forth from the Spirit. Alright? It comes forth from the Spirit, being grateful for the salvation of God. Just as we read in Song of David, is the thankfulness for all the things that God has done. How is that? Because you bring to remembrance. You bring to remembrance the salvation of God. You're bringing to remembrance. And that's what this Day of Thanksgiving coming up here in this nation has all been all about. Thankfully, it hasn't been wrung out and kicked off and made the Day of the Turkey. Albeit, you know, in practice it has been. I mean, it's made the Day of the Turkey. I mean, you worship a turkey now with six legs at the Dallas Cowboy game. You know, you're waiting at the end of the game for, oh, when are they going to bring the turkey out? You know, the turkey with the six legs. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, those gods with the many breasts or something, you know, that they made in the old, you know. How ungodly is a turkey with six legs? Huh? I mean, think about it. You know, that's not, God did not create a turkey with six legs. Did he? No? Yeah, see? Man, so it's the creation of man. So all of these things that we're thankful for, now I know I'm making a stretch with it, but it's true, is the things we tend to be thankful for are the things that man has done. And see, God is now transferring thanksgiving into, you know, thankfulness to man for the things that he has done. Thanking, believe it or not, you're thanking man for the things that he has done. You know, I'm just so grateful for Social Security. I'm so grateful for, you know, the government making sure that I have everything I need. You know, I am so grateful for all of these things. Well, be grateful to God. If you have anything, be grateful to God. Amen? Be giving thanks always for all things to God our Father. That's who you're giving thanks to. You know, Paul, we'll get to Paul in just a few minutes. Paul is a prolific thanker to God. Amen? I mean, you could go, you know, we'll look at some of that. Paul is an incredible thanksgivinger to God. He's always giving thanks. I give thanks to God and our Father for, you know, for you and for your brethren and for all those who believe. Who's he thankful to God? For you? I mean, of you? No. He's thankful for you. For the Spirit of God that is living and dwelling on the inside. Boy, preaching from up here is actually, it's better than down there. You just kind of get ruling up here. Maybe it's because I can see all of you at once. It's peripheral vision. Now, so he's got thanksgiving. See, they noticed I got rolling here, you know. Okay, so now we have, again, your spirit, meditation upon it. Now, here is, down below, we have ungrateful. Okay? Ungrateful complaining. How many know that's your mind, will, and emotions as well? Ungrateful, complaining, never enough. Say, never enough. Never enough, see? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving versus ungrateful. You know, because, you know, well, you can complain about everything. See, and that's what, you know, so when we don't feel good, when there's, that all comes from, selfish. And, all about me. As if you had worth and value apart from God. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me. So again, you know, what we're doing here, what I'm showing you here is that Spirit of the living God is coming to dwell on the inside of you, and if you will meditate upon the truth and the Word of God as David did in that song that he sang about all what God had done to provide for all of the people and for the kingdom of Israel. You know, thanking God that will lead you out of ingratitude. Amen? I said, don't be not ungrateful. I'm going to say that again. Don't be not ungrateful. What that means is don't get out of ingratitude by yourself. Don't try to make yourself, get out of having a bad attitude. But get into the Word of God and let the Word of God do the work. Does that make sense? Let the Word of God do the work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Same thing as we talk about any kind of good works, anything that would be pleasing to God, your thanksgiving out of flesh is no good. Thanksgiving out of the flesh is no good. But now our thanksgiving comes from a heart of gratitude which has been put on the inside of us. Amen? So the thanksgiving that comes forth from us is a thanksgiving that's born of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So again, this thanksgiving is something I desire and I want because I know that God doesn't need it. He's not just, you know, withering because I'm not giving Him thanks. I'm withering because I'm not giving Him thanks. If I will give God thanks, I will not wither. I will not be down underneath. If I will give thanks, and my giving of thanks is not because God commands it, but because of faith. And of gratitude to the Lord for coming and strengthening me and building me up and causing me to be a dweller in His kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah! Somebody else get up and preach. You'll feel as good as I do. Amen? Listen, you need to begin to talk about these things. Listen, talk about these things among yourselves. Get into a group and talk about these things. Don't just come to a Bible study and hear one guy. Amen? Or whatever this is, you know, Bible study, church service. I mean, I didn't say don't come, but come on. But still, come together, you know, during the holidays, you know, as much as you can with believers and fellowship around thanksgiving unto God, giving of thanks unto God. All right? When you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, offer it at your own will. Who has made you willing? Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost. You know, He made the people willing. Him who He had made their spirit willing. Okay? Let's look at this. Daniel. Turn to Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, and then we'll go to 6. Daniel chapter 2, verse 23. We might scoot up a little bit, I'm not sure. Let's wait till we get there. Because I know what the scripture was, but I didn't go back and look at what came before it. All right, I'm going to read 23. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me now what we desired of you, and you have now made known to us the king's matter. See, now, when Daniel came in and began to give thanks for all that the Lord had done for him, these were people in captivity, taken away out of the nation of Israel, taken into captivity, and yet God was beginning to use Daniel. and to for him to give thanks and to praise the Lord for what God was doing, even in the midst of a situation like we have in this nation today, an ungodly nation. Boy, did I say that? An ungodly nation. Well, one nation under God, indivisible. Hey, a nation is only godly when the people are godly. It has nothing to do with the government, you know, and words on a billboard and words on a piece of marble at, you know, up in the state house. It has to do with the people. The people are godly or not godly. This is a holy nation. Who's the holy nation? Is it a constitution? No. A holy nation is one whose God is the Lord. Who can be a holy nation? You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Amen? Who's the holy nation? The church, thank you. The holy nation is the church. You know, God, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. All right? Now, Daniel 6. I'm looking at verse 10. Okay, verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together. This is Daniel 6, verse 6. They assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Oh, legislature. Hey, that's good. We're going to legislate. We're going to make some laws. So we've consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of you, except you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, how many remember what this was about? I think they were trying to catch some people. You ever know of laws like that these days? Whosoever shall say Christmas, you know, we're going to throw him in the prison. Throw him in the lion's den. You know, whosoever shall say Jesus at the end of his prayer, we're going to throw him in the lion's den. Might as well. Might as well say it. 8, verse 8, Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. So, no, what that means is when the laws of the Medo-Persian kings, when a king made a law, it could not be revoked because it was God speaking. So, if the guy made a law, it could not be revoked. You know, it's like in the book of Esther. You remember the book of Esther? The king made a decree that all the Jews could be killed. Anywhere anybody found a Jew, they ought to kill him. Well, how come he didn't just change that law? Well, he can't. You know, same thing applied because it was the same nation. Is that it could not apply? It would not apply. That law could not be changed. So, what did anybody remember? What happened in the book of Esther? The king didn't change the law, but he kind of made an addendum. But any Jew that is under attack has the right to kill anybody who's trying to attack him. So basically what he did is just made it free for, okay, anybody can come try to kill a Jew, but everybody knows nowadays, especially, anybody see the Six-Day War? Anybody see, you know, 1967, 1973 in Israel? Man, you give those Israelis a little room to defend themselves, they do a pretty good job. They do a pretty good job. It's kind of like how God was with them in the when they were under David and under Solomon. You know, they had a pretty good track record of putting down their enemies. Even with a bunch of unruly guys out in the desert with Abraham, he had a bunch of trained servants. It's just a bunch of guys out in the desert. He had kings after him. And, you know, Abraham and a bunch of these guys, they go out and just smear all the people that are coming against him. He had like 5 or 6 kings coming against him. You know, Cheater, Lomer, and all those guys, you know, coming against him. And, you know, God's people just destroy him. So here we have, here in Daniel, you know, anybody who goes against this law is going to be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, verse 8, in chapter 6 of Daniel, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Dummy. Because Daniel was his best guy. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Boy, it doesn't say that Daniel didn't know about it, did he? He knew the writing was signed. He heard about it. Somebody sent him a memo. Somebody copied Daniel on this thing. You know? These guys. These presidents. These counselors. Make sure Daniel gets a copy of this. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open. He didn't shut the window where he couldn't be heard. His windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, facing the street, not the back window toward the backyard. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks just like before, as he did before. Didn't care. You know the rest of the story. I'm not going to read the rest of the story. But he gave thanks regardless of the law. He gave thanks to God regardless of the law. And God delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. And in fact, the other guys ended up in the mouth of the lion. The lions don't feel bad. The lions didn't go hungry. You know, you want to feel sorry for the lions there. Jesus, Luke 10:21. I thank you that you have revealed these things unto babes. Jesus, John 11, before the tomb of Lazarus, my God, I thank you that you always hear me. And I'm thanking you publicly because I know you always hear me. But for the sake of these that are standing here, I am thanking you. So your thanksgiving is public. Your thanksgiving is private, but your thanksgiving is also public. And before the people, even as Daniel, his thanksgiving was out the window. Amen? So your thanksgiving is not only quiet and private before the Lord, but your thanksgiving is public, outward, before the people. Before the people of the nation. Not just the people of God, but before the people of the nation. For the sake of these people who are around, I'm giving thanks to you, O Lord God, for what you are about to do. A lot more thanksgiving scriptures. Let's go on down to Paul. I'm going to read a few of these scriptures just for you among the church. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Go figure. But I thank God that Jesus Christ is the one who's delivering me from the body of this death. 1 Corinthians 4, I thank God always, my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:14, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. But thank God that you know, I'm trusting him for your salvation, but not my own ability. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. He says again, we're bound to always give thanks to God for you. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Continually, Paul is giving thanks among the saints for the work of God. I thank my God always upon every remembrance of you. Thanksgiving is not necessary for God's encouragement, but it's necessary for yours. It's necessary for you to be built up and strengthened. Listen, make a place and make room for thanksgiving unto the Lord. Make room always with your mouth giving thanks. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. See, because God is moving in everything that is occurring. Everything in my life Even when there are troubles, God is still building me up and strengthening me. Amen? I understand. Troubles are troublesome. Troubles are not fun. Troubles are not joyous. But yet, He is in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Through every trouble, God is growing me into His image as I look into His Word, as I look into His truth. He is transforming me from one degree of glory to the next. Romans chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 3:18. As I'm looking into the perfect law of liberty, I'm changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. I'm being renewed. I'm being transformed. You see that transformation going on right there, up there in our diagram? See that soul, that division there in the soul? It's seems like it's always kind of a... It's not a solid line as I've drawn up there, but it's you know, you're growing. Your mind, will, and emotions are sometimes, they're not always stable. But don't count that. Don't freak out about it. Amen? Because if you're emotionally wigged out, does that make sense when I say wigged out? Emotionally, you'll be wigged out, but don't count that. Don't count that for anything. Thank God, because my emotions are wigged out. Well, God, I'm just wigged out right now. I'm just under a cloud right now, Lord God, in my flesh. But make the division. Make the division between soul and spirit. All right? I mean, the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, divides between what? Soul and spirit. And when He's making that division, see, between soul and spirit, what I'm giving you here is that division is experienced in your mind, will, and emotions. So the experience of that division seems to be in your soul. But what it is a division between what the flesh and the spirit are doing, and your mind, will, and emotions are just stuck right in the middle of it. All right? Does that make sense? Huh? Because it's, whoa! I just, you know, I'm just, I can't believe that I'm just so fickle in my feelings. My feelings are just all over the map. But I say, I do not count that. I mean, I am under those feelings on one side. But I have the power and the Holy Spirit to say no, but I believe the truth. And I choose to give thanks even in the day of trouble. Now you can say I can't. I can understand anybody saying I can't. I could say that. But I choose to say I can and I will. And I, out of my mouth, you know, it's like, you know, Jim talks about, you know, the idea that, you know, when you're yelling and screaming, yelling and screaming at somebody in your house, and all of a sudden the phone rings and you go, hello? I mean, all of a sudden you're just calm and cool as a cucumber. Hello? You can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. You do all the time. You do all the time. So thank God that He is in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I'm encouraging you today to give thanks even when you don't want to. I don't want to. Forget what you want. You know what? If you'll do what you don't want, you'll gain strength in the Spirit of God. You'll grow and you'll mature. And the next time, you'll do it again, but you'll do it quicker. Giving thanks always for all things to the Lord. Father, we just praise You and thank You for this giving of thanks. This thanksgiving that You have produced in us. That You have given us as a gift. because of the Spirit of the living God. You said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, and you're in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. So Father, right now, our prayer is mature us and grow us in your promise, in your covenant, so that we give thanks, so that we may be established in your covenant, meditating on the truth, because you said you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. We give you glory and praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.